and welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
Today's topic is waste, or rather waste reduction, or to be more precise, complete waste avoidance. In the next hour, we will take you on a tour of the Zero Packaging Store in Austin, Texas, a world without waste, the Zero Packaging Store today on An Organic Conversation.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about what Pierre Cousteau said on our recent episode about the oceans, where there was one day when he surfaced from the ocean and there was a floating pool of plastic in the middle of the water, and how he tried to go a week without using any throwaway plastic because he knows firsthand that it ends up in the ocean and how difficult it was because we don't realize how often that shows up in our daily life. I'm really excited to find out about an initiative that is trying to reduce and actually eliminate the throwaway plastic, and even if it's not some place where I can go to do my daily shopping, what of those practices I can incorporate into my lifestyle so that I can reduce my amount of waste.
Yeah, that 6-foot blanket of plastic that you're referring to on his dive, I think on the coast of Morocco at the Canary Islands, Pierre Cousteau, great show on the oceans just a few weeks ago. Check it out if you haven't listened to it.
Yeah, and you know, I try to reduce my packaging wherever I go. I bring bottles and containers and all that type of stuff because I travel so much, and it really is amazing what you see to how much is out there and that we don't even know about. And I really, this idea, when I was starting an all organic produce department, you know, 20-30 years ago, people thought I was nuts. People were saying, oh, it won't work. We support your idea, but it won't work. I think this idea is really it's at a time right now where the time has come. And I think that this could really be a big deal.
And that's how the movement kind of started, right? Mm-hmm. I remember the first natural food stores had way more bulk availability, mm-hmm. bulk items than nowadays. But we'll dive into that, a world without waste, the Zero Packaging Store in Austin, Texas, today on An Organic Conversation.
But first, the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. New York plans to ban sale of large sugary drinks. The Bloomberg administration recently proposed a ban on the sale of large-sized sodas and sugary drinks in New York City's restaurants, movie theaters, street carts, and sports arenas in an effort to fight obesity. The legislature would ban all sugar-laden drinks larger than 16 ounces, including sodas and sports drinks, but would not extend to grocery stores or to drinks that have fewer than 25 calories per 8-ounce serving, such as diet sodas or unsweetened iced tea. Over half of the adults in New York City are obese or overweight, which is attributed to Mayor Bloomberg's decision to make public health a top priority during his tenure. The measure requires approval from the Board of Health, but already has seen support from the city's health commissioner. California condor population rebounds after near extinction. California condors, the largest land bird in North America, reached an important milestone last month, counting a total of 405 birds, a drastic improvement since near extinction just 25 years ago. The condor species was down to 22 birds due to habitat loss, poaching, lead poisoning, and insecticides before captive breeding efforts began in 1987 to revive the endangered species. Currently, there are 226 California condors living in the wild and 179 in zoos and breeding centers. Despite the monumental achievement, the species still needs to reach a minimum of 450 birds before a removal from the U.S. Endangered Species Act will be considered. Brazilian President Vito's bill loosening environmental regulations. The Amazon rainforest, considered one of the world's most important natural defenses against climate change, won an important victory last week when the Brazilian president vetoed parts of a congressional bill that sought to loosen the nation's polarizing new forest code law, which restricts the amount of privately owned rainforest that can be cleared for development. The Brazilian public massively opposed the alterations, and the president's line item veto came just before this month's UN conference on sustainable development in Rio de Janeiro. And mayor converts personal parking space into community park space. Ithaca, New York Mayor Svante Merrick recently gave up his car to join the 15% of his city's residents already walking to work. As mayor, Merrick is entitled to various exclusive perks of office, including a prime downtown parking spot, which he recently began turning into a communal urban garden, adding benches and plants to create a parklet for others to enjoy. At 25 years old and the youngest ever elected mayor of Ithaca, Merrick's initiative is part of his efforts to improve Ithaca's public transportation. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helga.
Thanks, Jen Lloyd, for that weekly update of the world of sustainability and green living. The green headlines every week here on Inorganic Conversation. Wow, kind of hopeful news. Mark, the Bloomberg administration in New York proposed a ban on large sugary drinks. You have some thought around that, I heard.
Well, you know, I've never ordered a 32-ounce or a 48-ounce or a 64-ounce drink.
The triple gulp or whatever?
I've never been able to understand that, but I know people who do. And while I love the idea of having people who, I mean, creating some sort of structure because of our obesity problem, I wonder about choice. You know, it really comes down to, I wonder if it would be smarter to offer some sort of incentive not to, as opposed to just not allowing it.
Interesting, yes.
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation because there have been some measures that I think have made a big difference on people's health. I think New York was the first place where they changed trans fat oils. They made a rule that you had to use peanut oil or something like that. And that makes a big difference on health when you take out those oxidized fats. So making a rule like that to combat obesity, definitely I've seen it have positive impact. And it's interesting to hear the other side of it. And instead of telling people you can't have it, which tends to get some kind of rebellion, giving people an incentive to choose something that's better. So like with healthcare, Helga, you were talking about insurance.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I'm all totally for the freedom to have a choice of what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And yet, at some point, it just becomes culture. I remember the smoking ban here in California that, you know, caused some arguments, and it's now totally part of the California culture that in restaurants and outside.
Oh, across the country.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what it had led into. And in Germany, too, there's kind of a requirement. I don't know if it's law, but it's a common practice that in school you will visit a foreign country as part of the educational program and many other things. And so it's like it might be a law, but it's really has become the culture of something. So, yes, I'm all about not taking any kind of right of choice away. And yet, with half of all people in this country in New York obese, and I think one out of three in the country, just like with trans fats, I think it's time to regulate some things here. Because
I think this could be a whole show.
Yeah, we should actually. Note to producer, our producer, Kristen Ponger. Yes, thumb is up. Okay, we will tackle this topic again.
Maybe get Mayor Bloomberg on.
Yes. Okay. We'll do that. We'll give some airtime to the idea of regulating our health system or our choices to kind of push us, bring us into more alignment with healthy choices and maybe a smaller ecological footprint altogether. Wonderful. We'll do that in the future. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll take a quick break, but stay tuned for our first interview about a world without waste. We're introducing the Zero Packaging Store from Austin, Texas. That and more when we come back right after the break. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is a world without waste, the Zero Packaging Store. The topic of waste is as endless as the waste stream itself. We have talked about initiatives such as Der Grüne Punkt, the Green Dot in Germany, where stores and manufacturers are 100% responsible for their packaging and as a result have drastically reduced packaging for their products or created new smart packaging alternatives. There's no waste in nature. Everything fulfills a purpose and gets recycled into something else. Not so in our human lives. The amount an average American household produces, the amount of waste that is astonishing, and it all ends up either in landfills, where it produces methane gas and potentially pollutes the groundwater, or in the ocean, as waste disposal in the open sea, such as raw sewage, paper, rags, glass, metal, bottles, or similar refuse, as long as you're at least 12 miles away from the nearest shoreline, is common and legal. But as always, we want to highlight the stories that are creating a change here in Inorganic Conversation, efforts that are underway right now. And it is such a pleasure to have Christian Lane with us today, who is calling from Austin, Texas, and who is making that difference as the co-founder of In.Gredients, the first zero packaging store in the United States. Christian, so great to have you with us. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to start with your bio. As the co-founder of In.Gredients, you have over 13 years of experience in the process of life cycle management and a passion for sustainability, best management practices. How did you come to retail? What inspired you to join kind of the core or the source of much of our packaging?
Sure. So my brother Joseph and I have been in IT and process lifecycle management for quite a while, and have been helping companies, you know, reduce waste from a kind of a corporate or business perspective. A couple years ago, we kind of started kicking around some ideas to, you know, pre-cycle, which is the concept of, you know, preventing waste opportunities in the first place through, you know, reduce and reuse, you know, prioritizing those two arrows of the recycling symbol we're all used to. And we had some ideas about, you know, a refill business where you refill alcoholic beverages. It was a very simple kind of basic business model, which is what we liked about it. But we felt they didn't really cover enough ground, so to speak, with the home having the kitchen, if you will, as a center of waste, really. Mm-hmm. There's just so much waste that comes out of the kitchen. We expanded our scope of our little project to include groceries. And in doing so, came up with what we think is a pretty cool model. Kind of focused on dispensing and those things, which is where we can kind of focus on or really prioritize, reduce and reuse, and facilitate and encourage people to pre-cycle and reduce waste.
Christian, you mentioned pre-cycling, and I think that that's a new word for a lot of people to hear. What is it, in broad terms, what does that mean?
So pre-cycling is just reducing and reusing. And it's kind of like I mentioned, preventing or reducing opportunities for waste. And it focuses on using things that have, or really utilizing things to their full capacity. You know, any given object has utility, and typically more utility than that single use, you know, item that we're used to throwing away or recycling or whatever. So it's really about reducing and reusing. And then ultimately, when something doesn't have utility, then recycling it.
Can you give us an example of pre-cycling an item, like what that might be, what it might look like, how you might use it for various things?
Yeah, so a real simple example is just, you know, water bottles. You know, a lot of people have aluminum water bottles or some plastic water bottles. They're very reusable. And instead of going out and buying, you know, bottled water and recycling or throwing away that single-use container, it's really about reusing a container over and over and over again.
Or if you get glass jars of jam, saving those to put leftovers or homemade marinades and that kind of thing. Would that be considered?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yep.
I get it.
Any reduction in reuse.
And so, you know, it sounds like this is more than just a local natural grocery store. You know, what is actually different about what you're trying to do? Because I've worked with co-ops and natural food stores for, you know, 30 years and mm-hmm. you know, buying in bulk isn't new. But yeah, what you're talking about, it seems like it's taken it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, you could say so. You know, there are some things about this business that aren't that novel. You know, if we go back in time, even before cooperatives and kind of natural grocers, you know, people bought food in markets and they brought their bags and they were, you know, weighed and distributed, and there wasn't a lot of packaging going on. What we're doing is really limiting the kinds of products that we carry to all those basic ingredients that you need to cook your own food. And in doing so, we have a nice kind of tight footprint, and we reduce a lot of the packaging requirements. There is a large bulk section with all the kind of dried type bulk items you're seeing at a natural grocer. We're just putting a real emphasis on reducing and kind of preventing opportunities for waste by using those kinds of dispensing models that we're used to in like bulk sections or even other sections. You know, we're at a restaurant, you can refill your container, your glass with a soft drink or whatever. Those dispensing mechanisms are already available. We're just trying to get them all in one business.
And what about like milk or honey or oil
or tea, like even loose?
Right. So, you know, milk, there's a handful of products that are considered potentially hazardous products. And those products have to be bottled at the site of the producer. So there are some areas where currently today, there's not going to be a lot we can do about those things. But as we grow and have maybe some more purchasing power, you know, the goal is to push producers to use deposit models and to, you know, take on some of the responsibility for the waste that they're helping produce. And, you know, as a cause-based business, you know, it won't be 100% day one, but as a cause-based, you know, we are working hard towards that cause. And as we grow, as I mentioned, have more purchasing power, we can hopefully try to
influence
put more responsibility
the industry
back on the producers themselves.
Yeah, great.
So are you saying, just that I'm clear on this, that something like milk you can't get in bulk, you have to buy it already in a glass bottle?
Yep, according to Texas health code, it's correct. And, you know, we could do deposits, which have kind of gone away in Texas, but the sanitation of those bottles has to be done at the producer at the bottling site. So, you know, our hope is to get deposit models back in some of those cases.
Well, and you're also educating your consumers about pre-cycling. So if they do buy glass milk bottles, they might use those as vases for flowers at home or something.
Absolutely. And that is a big component of this business, is really educating and helping people understand kind of a different way of doing things. And, you know, I agree with you guys. You kind of talked about it earlier. The time is now. People are really coming around to these ideas, and I think we're at a tipping point to where we're going to start making some really big impacts, and it's, you know, across a lot of industries too. So
yes, and we want to hear about what the impacts are on your community, what the response is, and how other retail businesses have taken notice of your idea. We are talking with Christian Lane, the co-founder of Ingredients from Austin, Texas, joining us today as we are discussing A World Without Waste, the Zero Packaging Store, starting in Austin, Texas, under Christian Lane's and your brother leadership, yes?
Correct, yep.
We're taking a quick break. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palmer.
And we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Want to feel your absolute best this summer? Full of energy, clarity, and health? Join Bowman College founder Dr. Ed Bowman at our Vitality Fasting Retreat for the ultimate therapeutic mind and body cleanse. Detoxify, renew, and start fresh through a fun and rejuvenating week-long retreat at the beautiful Stillheart Institute in Woodside, California. The Bowman College Vitality Fasting Retreat is held August 4th through the 10th, and space is limited, so sign up today. For more information, visit bowmancollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N college.org.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Today's topic is A World Without Waste, the Zero Packaging Store that is opening up in Austin, Texas. We're highlighting the story that are creating the change here on an organic conversation efforts that are underway right now. And this is one of those initiatives that's pretty mind-blowing. Christian, can you talked about what inspired the idea? You have a long history, over 10 years of best business practices and waste management, better waste management for companies as a consultant, really, and now combining all your expertise and your experiences in your business life into one grocery store, the Zero Packaging Grocery Store. We touched before the break on some items might be very difficult, like milk, just because it's legally not allowed for you to offer bulk milk yet. But guide us through the experience. If somebody comes to your store, Ingredients, in Austin, Texas, what will they find outside the door once they enter? How does that work mechanically?
Sure. So Ingredients is meant to be a micro grocer, neighborhood micro grocer. So it's a very small footprint. And because we're offering, you know, all the basic ingredients, we have a pretty good density of nutrition in this space. But when you first walk in, if it's the first time you've come in and you've got containers, we'll have a tear station. So we're using a little bit of technology. It's kind of a little bit of the innovation as well, so that you can actually tear your container. And you put your container on a scale, you've hit a button, and the computer is going to print a label that indicates the point of sale what that container weighs. That way that gets deducted from the gross weight, so you only get charged the net. That label is fairly permanent. It does come off nice and clean, but otherwise it stays on, and it just facilitates the transactions going forward.
Oh, so you don't have to reweigh your container next time. You're saying that's the weight of the container itself. Once the sticker is on, for whatever you put in there in the future, tea, which is much lighter by volume than other items, beans or peas or something dried, it will always read that container weight.
Correct.
And how many containers do you expect people to bring? How does that work? Walk us further.
Yeah, so you know that all depends on how much someone plans on buying. The more containers, the better. But you know, if you forget containers or don't have enough, we'll have options for you. The goal is to incentivize people as well, and not to penalize or do anything like that. So there will be options available.
What kind of options? You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think that because I've been to stores that do bulk items, and you can, if you forget to bring your glass containers, you can purchase glass containers while you're there. But then they also have like corn-based biodegradable compostable containers. What are the containers that you guys have on hand in case somebody forgets theirs?
You pretty much described it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make all the best options available, you know, that make the most sense. So whether it's a container that we offer you to sell for continual reuse, or in the event that, you know, a brown paper bag will do the trick, or a recyclable or compostable option, you will have options. And, of course, we plan to have varieties of sizes and all that, so you get the smallest size, you know, necessary. We're still kind of debating a compostable versus plastic since compostable tends to be more of an industrial composting needs and requirements, whereas, you know, recyclables are very easy to recycle in terms of the kind of recycling being done in Austin. But it just, it'll kind of depend on the use, really, as to what you actually end up using. But we'll have options.
So you walk in the store, you get a tear, you have your containers, and then you said it's a small footprint. When you say a small footprint, are you talking like 5,000 square feet, 2,000 square feet? What are you talking about so that we have an understanding of what size building someone's walking into?
Yeah, under 2,000.
Okay, so that would be like a very small shop in a that you would walk into, maybe like a hair studio. I'm just trying to give people an idea about the size of that store.
But they probably have a fair amount of volume because so much of that space is not taken up by packages, by boxes and containers and things, yes?
That's right. And that's part of the thing. You know, focusing on ingredients, we do get a lot of density, and we do have a very effective, you know, footprint from an energy perspective and from a lot of perspectives.
How many items will you be able to feature in such fairly limited quarters?
Gosh, I don't know the actual count that we got right now, but, you know, spices will be a full wide array of spices, just about everything you can imagine. On the teas, you know, abundant set of teas, you know, flowers, corn, I mean, flour, you know, beans and all the kind of dry stuff you're used to seeing, dry fruits. On the alcohol side, we'll have actual beer and wine on tap. But yeah, it's going to be a full assortment. It just won't be the processed packaged stuff.
And the produce, produce department too, will you feature a produce?
Yeah, definitely, and that's kind of the heartbeat. Main point is we're trying to focus on local and in-season produce.
So when it comes to other grocery items that other natural food stores offer, you know, household cleaners, et cetera, or even toilet paper, how does that work?
Yeah, so we've got a handful of local producers of, you know, detergents and soaps and even liquid detergents that can be done in bulk. We have you know, olive oils and vinegar and all that kind of stuff that can be done in bulk as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty good assortment. It's a good variety.
Mm-hmm. And how is the community, what's the community response to this initiative? Or have people been supporting you to bring this to fruition?
Yeah, we've really been overwhelmed and really humbled by the whole thing. We threw the idea out there last June and kind of crowdsourced some kind of seed money and some of the stuff we have for the community area of the property that we're on, and you know, had a really good response via the Indiegogo.com campaign, and then through that as well with just the social media and kind of the you know, people finding out about us, people started coming through saying that they want to volunteer and do all those kinds of things. So we've had a bunch of volunteer days and activities, and
that's great.
It's, you know, so far everyone's very, very positive, so we're really excited.
We're talking with Christian Lane again, the co-founder of Ingredients, a zero packaging store in Austin, Texas, that is kind of redefining the world of grocery shopping. Christian, stay with us. We want to hear about how you are actually influencing other companies and who else, you know, heard about it and is now considering some of your practices. Because for you, it's as much as offering this to the local community as is a model for the entire country, hopefully to follow at least to some degree. Again, that store is Ingredients and the website is in.gredients.com. You're listening to an Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helbert.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palamar.
And it's time for the update of the weekly update of what's going on in the world of produce with our very own produce expert, as we had just talked about the produce department at Ingredients being the heartbeat of the store. He's our very own Mark Mulcahy with What's in Season.
Yes, what is in season? And we're talking to the market, of course, as we always do every week. We've got Earl Herrick from Earl's Organic Produce on the phone, the voice of the market. And today we're talking radishes. Hi, Earl.
You know, when we, you and I sometimes consider these topics beforehand, how about that? And when I was first thinking about radishes, it was kind of out of left field for me. But then as I continue to walk a market and I'm looking in that direction, this is the perfect time because it doesn't like hot weather. It's a cool weather vegetable. So they've been in the ground. Actually, they're the fastest growing vegetable you can have.
Really?
Yeah, they grow within 21 to 30 days. So if you're a beginning gardener, all it takes is some wet soil and some sun, and you got yourself a crop. So you put that product out, and you're going to have it in 3 to 4 weeks. And the ones that we're eating now were planted, what, at the end of April?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is – so the early ones are not going to be bitter. They're going to be sweet. And also you're still going to get those pretty greens that we all love and we choose be for the most decorative and what we think is the best. And because the bugs don't get them early in the season. Mm. The predators that like that greens are going to get them later on. So you're going to get your very best now with the pretty greens, the sweet fruit of the radish. I'll call it fruit. It's the root. And you have great varieties. I mean, you know, a lot of times, I don't know what, when I think of radish, it's mostly the red ones, but you have all these different types, different colors, like a French breakfast, which has got a couple colors in the same length. You got a French breakfast, which is different variety, different colors in the same bunch. There's, of course, watermelon radish, which is a great one. It's a bigger one. When you cut it in half, it's just beautiful circles of different color. And of course, the big daikon radish, which is, you know, the big long one that's mostly grown in the winter.
So this must be a great, you have been talking over the last several weeks about it being such great weather for everything.
Yep.
And with these warm but not too extremely hot temperatures, it must be really the perfect time, as you're saying, to buy radishes.
Well, not only that, well, those are true. And one other aspect is that we've gotten, every now and then, we've gotten a moist day, a little bit of a drizzle here and there, which is you want to keep that soil moist for radish. So this is the perfect time. The spring, summer has not been so intensely hot all the time. It's been this kind of mild fluctuation of heat, and it cools down. So it's really just the very perfect time.
Mm-hmm. And they're more sweet right now, and you're saying as the season progresses, they do get a little, or as they age, they do get a little bit more sharp, spicy.
Exactly. Yeah, they do. And some people like that, and that's great. So this is the time, and also this is the time where you're going to see them in the farmers markets, because mostly for a lot of people, it's the first thing they plant in the spring, because they want to get this kind of instant gratification. And in the produce world, there really isn't anything, but radish comes the closest to that.
So there you go. So if you want instant produce gratification,
so great.
Buy a radish.
Or plant a radish.
Thanks for joining.
You want to plant the radish.
Oh, yes. You want to plant a radish. Okay.
Plant the radish.
Okay, well, Earl, thanks for planting your radish with us today, and we look forward to having you on next week.
Thanks, Earl.
Thank you, Earl.
Always great talking to you.
So good.
You too.
So Earl mentioned a bunch of varieties. Yes, if you're going to the store and you're looking at radishes, the most common one you find in the supermarket is called the Cherry Bell, that bright red-skinned round variety. You'll see white icicle radishes, which are pretty mild and have, you know, been date back to the 16th century. Earl was mentioning Easter egg radishes and French breakfast radishes, both which I like. And the French breakfast, something that you may want to try if you've never tried this before, is to put butter on a really nice slice of hearty bread and then slice French breakfast radishes on top. Their mild flavor along with the butter is really a nice treat. The difference now is that he was mentioning daikon radishes. Daikon radishes and black Spanish radishes are winter radishes, and so they have much more sulfur in them, a much hotter flavor. And then these spring, early summer radishes, like Earl was mentioning, are the ones that if you're not a big radish fan, now is the time to eat them. So when you're choosing them, if they do have greens on them, make sure the greens are crisp and green, and make sure that the radishes are hard and solid with a very smooth surface. You don't want any radishes that are spongy or soft. And if you buy them loose in a bag, make sure you check them for mold before purchasing them, because sometimes the condensation in the bag can help them to mold quicker. Lastly, Earl was talking about gardening, and sometimes you'll see bunches of radishes as the season starts to wear on with these little teeny holes in the greens, and that's caused by a flea beetle. And a lot of growers will intentionally plant radishes next to other plants because the flea beetles like radishes better. And so they'll attack the leaves of the of the radish, and then they won't bother the other plants in the garden. And so a lot of organic growers use companion planting, and so that might be another thing, way that you can support some local organic growers too. So go out and grab a radish.
Instant gratification.
Instant ratification.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. That's the weekly update from the world of produce, what's in season. And we are listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Today's topic is A World Without Waste, the Zero Packaging Store. The topic of waste is as endless as the waste stream itself. And Christian Lane, with his store Ingredients in Austin, Texas, is making the difference, really being a leader in the industry and bringing the whole idea of packaging to a completely new conversation.
So, Christian, before we went into the What's in Season segment, you were summarizing for us the different types of things that people will be able to get in bulk in their containers, like soap and olive oil, tea, spices, grains, legumes. I'm curious, though, what about the items that tend to come pre-packaged, like snack foods, cookies and crackers, potato chips, corn chips, salsa? Are you guys going to be offering those? Are you working with local artisan bakers and producers so that your customers can get those fresh, or what is that going to look like at Ingredients?
Yeah, that's just it. We are working with a lot of local producers of some of those kinds of items. There's a company called, or a bakery called Easy Tiger. It'll provide us with, you know, a lot of the fresh breads and, you know, baguettes and different kinds of bread. There's a handful of different, you know, sweet kind of bread type producers. And yeah, you know, the idea on some of these things is, for those things that have to be packaged up otherwise, it is to buy fresh and to try to manage inventory as best as possible so that there's not waste on the back end of it, and to carry, yeah, as much as possible fresh products from local producers.
What about, though, like potato chips and crackers, those kinds of things? Because fresh bread and muffins and even cookies, to a certain extent, I've seen fresh other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a local producer of some crackers, and we've been working with them to find some dehumidifying type, I guess, technology, if you will, to incorporate into the bulk bins to prevent, you know, the stale and the humidity from a, you know, stale. I'm sorry, to prevent things
sure.
going stale.
Yes.
And to try to keep the humidity at bay.
That's really cool.
I do need to ask about beer too. You mentioned there's beer on tap, and that's just fascinating to me. Usually when you do tap beer, when you do pour it out of the tap, it's served to be consumed in that moment. In other words, I find it fascinating, if you have found a way to bring beer from a tap into a bottle to then carry home, which is what you're saying, yes?
Yeah, so in the beer... you know, the beer enthusiasts like the growlers a lot.
I'm asking for Mark, not for me.
As well.
Yes, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so, you know, you bring in your empty growler and we'll fill it up for you, seal it up, and let you go on your way.
Have you found any compromises on quality, or are you saying nowadays it's all completely, we're able to figure out basically for almost every ingredient how to do it right?
So, you know, some things won't last as long as others, right?
Sure.
You know, the fresher something is, the less preservatives, the less packaging it has, the lower the lesser the shelf life.
Yes.
But the idea is also that we're a neighborhood microgrocer, which means that you can shop more often and shop in less quantities at a time.
Uh-huh.
So, if you got some buddies coming over and you want to split a growler or two, you know, come and buy it and drink it that night, and you know, you're drinking the freshest of beer. And that's kind of the idea across the board, you know, trying to adopt a little more of the European model to where you just buy fresh groceries every day as opposed to once a week or once every 2 weeks and then end up throwing stuff away because it was in the back of the refrigerator or whatever the case is.
Yeah, which is, that's exactly what you were prompting, that picture of me growing up in Germany where, you know, nowadays in the grocery store, there are people with two or three shopping carts full of stuff. And maybe that's, you know, needed and it's a big family. But I never remember my parents shopping like that. You would walk over to the milkman or to the butcher and you would get what you would eat that night or the baker, and you would just get that bread for that day because tomorrow morning you would buy another one.
And it was wrapped in paper, right?
That's right. Yeah. And every single item was wrapped in paper, wax paper, if it had to be, otherwise really just nice, clean, white food paper, food-grade paper, and then a newspaper around it. It was just common to just walk out with your bread in the newspaper from yesterday.
Well, but then when the Black Forest was gone, they had
Yes. So that's a very European principle of having that food security and that comfort of just walking across the street more or less or a few blocks to get whatever you needed for that day. And yet it also reduced waste quite drastically because you would really just buy what you would eat that day or the next day. And Mark, you had a story there around...
Well, you know, when I was in Europe, I found that, when I was in Norway, I was standing at the checkout counter and I was waiting for someone to bag my groceries. And I looked at the young man and he looked at me like, what are you waiting for? And I said, well, I'm waiting for me to bag my groceries. And he said, well, if you give me 20 cents... then I'll give you a bag. And so that concept was just threw me for a loop, 20 years ago, but it actually made sense. If I wanted to use something, then I would pay for it. And then I would value it more. Why do you think that's taken so long to come to the United States?
We're kind of talking in general terms. So, generally speaking, I think we're less progressive than we maybe ought to be. Kind of going back to your conversation on big soda drinks, we don't want things necessarily forced upon us. We want this, freedom of choice and whatnot, and that's all well and good. But I think, now we're coming around and realizing that the cost of such conveniences are greater than, the value of whatever convenience they bring. I think we're just slow to come around on some sustainability type stuff and some progressive actions, really.
Well, and the cost brings up a really interesting question because I think that most people don't realize that the cost of their bags has been worked into the cost of their groceries. It's not like we're getting it for free. That has to come from somewhere. We have to pay for it somewhere. So with your concept at Ingredients, how is the price affected by these choices?
Sure. So, it kind of depends on what it is you're buying and whatnot. Like in the meat and protein kind of area, those are humanely raised animals and humanely butchered animals. So those, you're not going to buy 20, drumsticks for a buck like you might find somewhere else. But overall, the less packaging and the less marketing and branding that goes into packaging, the lower the cost. So we want to be... incomparable to other natural food places or cooperatives, and in some areas will be less expensive than the non-bulk or the non, or the packaged counterpart. But for the most part, when people realize the real economic cost of the bags and how those are when they're free, they are still working into the cost equation. There are some areas where we plan to be less expensive because we are reducing and reusing, and that should be shared back across the customer.
Yeah, and then the associated costs on the environment, of course, for cleanup, for landfills, for ocean dumping, the effects on the natural world and our groundwater, et cetera, that are associated with packaging, especially plastic, but not limited to. So packaging is costing us a fortune, however you are looking at it from whatever angle. We're talking with Christian Lane, the co-founder of Ingredients, the first zero packaging store in our episode today, A World Without Waste, in Austin, Texas. Christian, we do want to hear about your educational efforts and how you're influencing the entire industry, actually. We'll take one more quick break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Want to feel your absolute best this summer? Full of energy, clarity, and health? Join Bowman College founder Dr. Ed Bowman at our Vitality Fasting Retreat for the ultimate therapeutic mind and body cleanse. Detoxify, renew, and start fresh through a fun and rejuvenating week-long retreat at the beautiful Stillheart Institute in Woodside, California. The Bowman College Vitality Fasting Retreat is held August 4th through the 10th, and space is limited, so sign up today. For more information, visit bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMANcollege.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at urbanremedy.com. That's urbanremedy.com. The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And our topic today is ingredients. Much more than a grocery store, really a center for education. We're talking with Christian Lane about the first zero packaging store in the country. Before we dive back into that interview, though, he is our very own Sitarani Palomar with her holistic bite.
That sound effect has become 100% a part of this. My Holistic Bite is a weekly update on the world of well-being, from holistic nutrition to fashion and skincare, because I believe that true beauty and well-being comes from the outside in as well as the inside out. And earlier in this episode, during Mark's What's in Season segment, we talked about radishes. And my favorite radishes are Easter egg radishes, because they have this beautiful array of pastels. And I think when you put them in any dish, it's so lovely and bright and has this summery visual element that elevates the experience of what you're eating. And this was a reminder for me that those colors want to find their way into the rest of my world right now. It's a signal that summer is here. And my basics for everything tend to be kind of the blacks and the brown tones and muted earth tones. But when the flowers start springing up and the Easter egg radishes are on the market, I want my spirit and the manifestation of my spirit on the outside via my clothing and cosmetics to really reflect that joy and the welcoming of color into the world. So this time of year is really when I think we minimalize our makeup, because the weather is getting warmer. We want our skin to breathe. We want to be able to sweat easily, because sweat is an important component of our body's detox response. And so I forgo the eye makeup entirely and just, you know, keep neat eyebrows to frame the face, a light coat of mascara, and then some bright, happy blush colors to highlight the flush in your cheeks and that healthy glow that you get with detox and a few hours playing in the sun. And I think that that's also a really great reminder that we don't need makeup to feel beautiful, because true beauty is about the joy of loving the life that you live. And something that we're reminded of when the weather warms up is that that's the truth, because we spend more time outdoors and it's really in nature when we feel most alive. So outer beauty is a reflection of your inner light and happiness. And I encourage everybody to do something this weekend that nourishes your inner spirit. And that is this week's Holistic Bite.
Thank you, Sita. Wow, yes, the shades of pink of Easter egg radishes. Wow. Then there's the glow of the ocean sunset, the colors of autumn, the cherry blossoms in spring, natural beauty. How do you describe describe natural beauty?
Well, I really think it's just a highlight or an emphasis of what's already there, because it is maybe the copper that's in your hair or the coral that's in your cheeks or the green that's in your eyes, whatever it is. But it's about being comfortable in your own skin and confident about your choices and how they reflect your values and support your beliefs. So it's about loving the earth around you and really reflecting that glow off to everybody.
Yes, and our wonderful partner, natural beauty company Ecobella, has captured these beautiful colors from nature and created an extraordinary line of natural and organic cosmetics that you will love and that will fully bring out your inner radiance, the holistic bite, brought to you by Ecobella every week. It's called Flower Color Makeup, and it's made with flower wax. We have a special for our listeners. Go to mybeautybite.com, where Ecobella has made it fun for you to support this show. That's mybeautybite.com, and that was Sita's holistic bite for this week. Thanks, Sita.
Thank you.
You're listening to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Wilkay.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we're talking with Christian Lane, the co-founder of Ingredients in Austin, Texas, a new store, a zero packaging store. On our show today, A World Without Waste. Christian, we talked about the items and how you are featuring them. It's really a neighborhood grocery store that has most products that people would expect, from household cleaners to all kinds of food items, teas, spices, oils, a big produce department. Even though it's a small store, you bring a lot of food and products into the store because packaging takes room too, and you will have none of that, or not much of that, other than the items that are required by law, such as milk, as we talked about in the first half of the hour. In addition to being a grocery store, you're really, the way I understand it, is you're seeing your store as kind of an information center, really a source of education for the community about your concept and far beyond. Can you talk about your initiatives, what you're planning on doing in upcoming months as a service to the community to bring more awareness?
Sure. So, you know, online, the online community and whatnot has pretty good access to just information on our blog, information about do-it-yourself ideas and just different ways of kind of minimizing your input, your impact. But you know, at the physical, you know, on the property, We've partnered up with Urban Patchwork, which is a local organization that helps build neighborhood farms, if you will, where people contribute their property to be part of the edible landscape that collectively makes up a farm. So we've got a garden out front with tomatoes and a whole bunch of different plants growing that will, A, contribute, you know, that produce back to the CSA, the neighborhood CSA, while at the same time giving us a place to do demonstrations and to show people, you know, where food comes from. In addition to that, you know, with the dry, hot weather we get down in Austin, we're experimenting with a few different methods of water conservation, you know, growing. We've got a hugelkultur bed. It's got a lot of logs underneath the soil, and the logs in the wood absorb moisture and slowly release it back, so you can go a long time without watering. We've got some raised wicking beds that we're experimenting with, and using all these things to help educate people and help them understand, you know, different growing techniques and you know, ultimately where food comes from.
Mm-hmm. And since you've launched this idea, have you had other companies come to you and ask for advice or do the same thing in other parts of the country?
Yeah, we've had a handful of people that reached out, and we've actually, you know, met with a few more that want a lot more advice and input than we can give them, just due to the fact that we're just so immersed in what we're trying to get done. And we actually have also had very large, more enterprise food producers that we kind of talked to, because I think they've got they just wanted ideas as to maybe what they could incorporate. One of the things, though, is that, you know, larger food producers and or grocers are pretty well vested in packaging. So, you know, I don't anticipate too much change on some of those kinds of bigger businesses, but I think this is an idea we're spreading. When we evaluated our business plan, we're kind of at the tail end of of the planning and the thinking, and we're kind of at a go, no-go decision as a business. We did find that there's a business in London that has a very similar concept, and they've been working for 3 or 4 years and been operational and you know, doing pretty well, it seems. So, you know, we thought if they can do it in London, we can do it in Austin and definitely in other areas of the U.S. market.
And it's so interesting to see that, you know, when the organic movement started in the early 70s, how, you know, Mark was saying earlier, an organic produce store or department was unthinkable, and it's now a reality in several stores or many stores around the country. And same, you just mentioned neighborhood farming, the whole concept of spin farming, small plot intensive, where you know, many people don't use their backyard or front yard, and if you add it up, we had a show on that, you know, that can add up to several acres within the neighborhood of agricultural land, really, at much better use than perhaps the garden lawn that needs to be irrigated and managed somehow. And we had a show on that as well. So sure. It sounds like you are really understanding the store as a voice for change, and kind of as a community center. How can you... what's the financial side of this? Has this, you know, been received with open arms by other companies that you buy from? How open are, you know, lenders to this idea of establishing a new kind of store? Are large companies that, you know, traditionally package their product and ship it nationally? Is this really just all a local effort, or do you have national brands that actually like the idea and are willing to change their practices as well?
Yeah, it's a mix of things. You know, we're trying to be as local as possible. So working with some local, you know, like coffee roasters, you know, coffee obviously doesn't grow in Texas, but there's a lot of great roasters in town. And talking to them, you know, they're all willing to do a trade, you know, kind of a deal where, you know, they bring in the full containers and they take back the empties. So we've got some cooperation and collaboration, you know, at those levels. In terms of, you know, bigger producers, you know, there are times where, you know, we do get some grains from somewhere. It's not going to make sense to ship back an empty container. But then the idea is that we'll do what we can to repurpose and upcycle those kinds of things and find other uses for them.
We're just about out of time, but I'd really love to know what your vision is for the future and how this is going to kind of create a chain reaction of change for the positive in the country.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. We've got a little bit of a road ahead of us to get this store going. And to, you know, stabilize some things and kind of get some kinks worked out, but the feedback so far has been, you know, pretty global. It's people's real enthusiasm and liking of the idea. We'd like to take this as far as we can, in as many neighborhoods in Austin and even other markets. And, you know, having a corner store like this or a local grocery store like this in a lot of neighborhoods, I think would be a good thing for a lot of people. So yeah, we'll see where it goes, but definitely have ambitions of going big with it as much as we can.
So you are understanding this as possibly kind of a chain, even though that word is, you know, usually associated with something that's not neighborhood friendly. In this case, it's a neighborhood friendly neighborhood corner store concept that you are trying to establish throughout Austin and perhaps beyond.
Yeah, you know, all things going well, sure. That'd be great.
We would love to see it here, yes, for sure.
That sounds great. Good luck with that, and we will stay on top of that, and we'll have you back and check in with you in a few months. Good luck with that initiative. It sounds wonderful. Thanks for everything that you bring into that store as a new concept and idea. May it inspire the world.
Thank you, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you.
That's Christian Lane, the co-founder of Ingredients. That's In.Gredients in Austin, Texas. The first zero packaging store on our show today, World Without Waste. Wonderful. If you have comments and questions regarding this episode or any other episode, or want to share something with us, you can do so at share@anorganicconversation.com. We love to hear from you.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer, Robert Koster. News services, Jen Lloyd. Underwriting production, Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
Mark Mulcahy.
And Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye.